You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The following segment is from The Look Ahead on the SB Nation NFL Show, where we're discussing your favorite team. Subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show to make sure you don't miss conversations like this one.
Our next deep dive takes us to Kansas City, where the Cowboys come to town. Kansas City, 2.5-point favorites in this one, and I feel like NFL fans exhaled last week, right? Because it was like, whew. Okay, the Cowboys put up 43 on the Falcons. The Chiefs put up 41 on the Raiders. We are going to get that shootout that we all thought when we saw this game on the schedule. Like, okay. Because that's what I think most people want to see. Not maybe Cowboys or Chiefs fans, but everybody else is like, give me like the 80 or 90 point, you know, over-under in this game. And let's go see if these two teams can reach it.
Yeah, I was talking to, obviously been doing some things with Pete Sweeney and Steven Serta this week, you know, from Arrowhead Pride with the Cowboys getting ready to play the Chiefs. And Steven's, you know, we were ending a conversation. He said, let's just hope for 80 points, you know, like let's hope for 80 points combined. A lot of Cowboys fans feel like this has the potential to be a 2013 Cowboys Broncos game. Everybody remembers that, the Peyton Manning, Tony Romo shootout. And this game has kind of become something that, I don't know even the most supportive Cowboys fan could have envisioned at the beginning of the season, in that this is Kansas City's let's prove who we are game. You know what I mean? Like you never saw that. You saw that maybe this would be that game for the Cowboys, and maybe the Cowboys would, if they were having success, they would go to Arrowhead, they would have this big win and kind of announce themselves as Super Bowl contenders. And obviously the fortunes of these teams have been very different than expected to this point. But I'm really fascinated to see the Cowboys in this spot. And, you know, we saw them in a unique spot last week. Okay, how can they respond? You know, they were embarrassed, they were humiliated. What can they do? And they went out and the poor Atlanta Falcons were just in their way. And I loved that. I mean, I loved how, you know, Mike McCarthy, I haven't told you this stats. He deferred the winning coin toss. He did not defer. I'm sorry. And he wanted the ball, but you know, under Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys have always deferred. He wanted the ball. He said, we're going to take the ball. We're going to score. We're going to punch you in the mouth. We're not going to let you off the ground. And that was really, I've never seen in my life, I've never seen the Cowboys play a game like that with that kind of stones, I guess. And this is a different one. I'm very fascinated to see how Mike McCarthy handles. This is one of the best teams in the NFL, certainly when they're hot. I think you have to give them that credit now. And they're going to give you everything they have. They're looking, you know, to come at you. Micah Parsons loves to say the lion is always hungry. That's kind of his internal philosophy. They're coming for the lion, dude. They're coming. I mean, and we haven't seen the Cowboys on top of the perch. They haven't won anything, but metaphorically on top of the perch and you know, facing a contender. I mean, they're Achilles in Troy with the character that Eric Bana played, coming to try and square off and challenge them. And so it's really exciting. You know, generally stats, I know I've kind of rambled here. The Cowboys game before Thanksgiving every year is really dramatic. Generally speaking, in 2011, they won at Washington on a game-winning field goal in overtime. In 2012, they won at home against the Browns on a game-winning field goal in overtime. So those are both three-point wins. In 2013, three-point win. 2014, three-point win. That was the Odell catch game. The Giants lost that game. The Giants don't like to remember that when they talk about that. 2015, 10-point win. 2016, 10-point win. They lost in 2017. 2018, three-point win. They did lose in 2019, but in 2020, a three-point win. Generally speaking, it goes down to the wire, and I do feel like this is going to be that kind of game.
A lot to react to there. First of all, the character that Eric Bana played in Troy was Hector, one of the most famous like people in the Trojan War. I don't know how you forgot that.
My level of Greek mythology knowledge is not, you know, high, but thank you. That's why, you know, we balance each other out.
Today. Yeah, Hector, tamer of horses, man. I hate the good team loses a game, then they win the next week. So let's praise the head coach for whatever stupid motivational tactic he came out with.
You've been waiting a week to tell me this.
And Mike McCarthy gets all this praise for coming up with this stupid red ass week where he's handing out like this balm in case you have like a chapped skin or a red ass or something. Some stupid thing. Whereas if the Cowboys lost, we'd never hear about it. People acting like this secret motivational tactic that Mike McCarthy came up with completely changed.
I don't think anyone really believes that this was like.
Then why are we talking
reason.
About it? Then why is it even
it was
a fun. Thing? It was stupid. It was dumb.
It was a fun story. And, you know, we had some laughs and some good times. And I'm not making this about the monkey butt, which is the name of the substance that Stats talked about. I do believe, though, that I've told you this before. I believe if you can get 53 players to believe that the sky is orange, then the sky is orange. And I believe that Mike McCarthy is having that sort of effect. Jason Garrett, the hallmark quality of him that we would constantly talk about, you know, as Cowboys fans, was that his Cowboys teams never quit on him. They never did. They were loyal to a fault, obviously, in Jason Garrett. And I'm not saying that they're not loyal to Mike McCarthy, but there's a difference between being loyal and believing in. And they absolutely believe in Mike McCarthy because he believes in them. I mean, he is
that if Mike McCarthy did no motivational tactic whatsoever, they still would have beat the tar out of the Falcons. That's my point. I don't think that it had anything to do with Mike McCarthy. Separate from this, Kansas City.
One way or another, Mike McCarthy has built a great culture within this team that allows for them to feel that aggressive, to feel that way. I mean, they've never won a game like that before. They've never come off of a humiliating loss and just you know, ended, just stolen the life out of a team like that. And that's what they did in this game. I mean, and that's, again, they have a killer instinct that I've never seen before from any Cowboys team, regardless of who the players are.
I think that comes from Dak way more than it comes from Mike McCarthy.
Sure.
For Kansas City's defense, what do you buy into this stat? Their last five games, they have averaged 16 points or fewer. And those games were Washington, Tennessee, the Giants, the Raiders, and the Packers. Are you buying that Kansas City's defense is maybe better than we thought?
No. And I know that I'm not saying they're trash, but like that's like the reason I like things like DVOA. And I know you're not saying like, oh, here's concrete proof, points allowed, whatever. It's because football's weird. Like weird crap happens, right? Like, you know, that stat you mentioned is totally different if DeSean Jackson doesn't have a brain fart, you know what I mean, on Sunday night and, you know, fumble the ball. So like if, you know, and again, he did have that brain fart and, you know, that was a turnover. And so you have to give the Chiefs their credit for that. I mean, they weren't just like 100% lucky off of that, but, you know, a better wide receiver doesn't make that mistake. Like Michael Gallup doesn't make that mistake. CeeDee Lamb doesn't make that mistake. Amari Cooper doesn't make that mistake. And so, you're moving goalposts, but I think that context is necessary. So I don't think that tells the whole story. And I worry, Stats, and again, I want the Cowboys to win, obviously. But we saw the Chiefs, you know, and you and BLG, I thought, hit the nail on the head when you talked about the Rams on Tuesday, about how they're not a team that handles getting punched in the face well. I think the Chiefs can take a punch in the face, but I think that they want to let everybody know that they're being punched in the face. You know what I mean? they want, you know, they're like,
that's a
hey, everybody.
Flex.
Yeah. Well, they're like, we're being punched in the face. So, you know, give us the benefit of the doubt here. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like the Rams just fold. The Chiefs will stay in the fight, but you know, they're like, hey, everybody, give us our credit here. You know, give us some understanding. And those are the vibes that were certainly, you know, encircling this team early on this year. They're like, everybody chill out. You know, we're this great team. You know, we're allowed to have this regression, this bad, you know, bad month or whatever. And so I think that the Chiefs are maybe a little bit back on that high horse. And I'm not saying that they're, you know, there's any sort of hubris or anything, but that we've seen that they're not a team that handles adversity well in a different way than the Rams, if that makes sense.
Last thing I want to say about this game, you know, it's an AFC-NFC matchup, and this could be a potential Super Bowl matchup. And a lot of times, if the two teams that play in the Super Bowl have played in the regular season, one of them will say, you know, when we played them early in the regular season, like thinking of the Giants and the Patriots, the year the Patriots were undefeated, they played in the regular season. The Patriots obviously won that game, but the Giants all came out of that game being like, you know, that's supposed to be the big bag Patriots, and we were toe-to-toe with them. So they had confidence in the Super Bowl that they could pull it off. I feel like this could be one of those games, right, where if these two teams are in the Super Bowl, they're going to point back to this game and say, you know, when we played them in the regular season, we learned this, or we started to believe this. That could be one of those games. I don't have confidence that the Chiefs' offense is all of a sudden fixed because they had one good game against the Raiders. The Cowboys' defense has been able to force a lot of turnovers this season, and that has been the bugaboo of the Chiefs. That has been their biggest problem, is that they keep giving the ball away. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues in this game. I'm taking the Cowboys. Even if the Chiefs do put up a lot of points, the Cowboys are one of the few teams that can score with them. The Cowboys lead the league in the NFL in points per game. I'll take Dallas, and I will get the points.
I've said this a few times, and I just want to say it one more time to you, that this, when we look back, when the season's over, and you know, the NFL releases their graphic of the most watched games, this is going to be up there. This is going to be like the second most watched game at the end of the
100%.
Season. 100%. It's late window on Fox, America's Game of the Week, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Aaron Andrews. And this is like perfect, right? You know, some people are traveling for Thanksgiving. Some people not, still kind of gauging how they're handling things, you know, in our current climate. But so, you know, maybe this is, you know, some, like, kids are, you know, they're out of school, right? Like, you know, Friday's their last day of school before the holiday. You know what I'm saying? Like, this has just all the good, you know, deep part of the season vibes. It's at an outdoor stadium. You know, it's not going to be cold, but it's going to get dark around halftime. You know what I mean? Like, it checks all of the theatrical boxes. Great uniform matchup. And so I believe, because of the stage this is going to command, I don't know that Patrick Mahomes is in the MVP running anymore this season. And I don't say that to step on him in any way. It's just been the season that Kansas City has had. But if the Cowboys play well, and specifically if Dak Prescott plays well, this is, you know, we all have takes that are molded by games that, like that Colts Jets game, right? Like, because you don't, you know, not everybody watches every single team's every single game. And so a lot of people will remember this Cowboys game if they have that success. And this could be Dak's kind of, you can't win MVP in week 11,
but you
but
can
this
lose
could
it.
Go a long way for him.
Yep. I agree with you. I think that's absolutely right. He can't win it, like you said, but a good game, especially if Mahomes plays well. Like, if the Cowboys blow him out, that'll be fine for Dak's MVP choices. But if Mahomes plays well and Dak wins a shootout, then it, like, goes even further, right? Because he stood toe-to-toe with the great Patrick Mahomes. And so that will be, and I think probably he locks up comeback player of the year as well. He may already have that locked up.
I've said this before, too. If Dak wins MVP, I don't think he wins comeback player of the year. Because again, we've talked so much about how these are like narrative driven, you know, awards, and they generally don't give multiple awards to the same guy. So I think Joe Burrow is really rooting for Dak to win MVP because then he wins comeback player of the year.
Nick Bosa's, you know, doing pretty good too.
Look at you. You and Pete, both your teams win. You guys both standing a little taller this week. You're talking Nick Bosa. Pete's, you know, writing articles that Creed Humphrey should win Offensive Rookie of the Year. If it isn't obvious, I'll take the Cowboys. But I do think that we see an all-timer.
You can hear the rest of this conversation by subscribing to the SB Nation NFL Show wherever you get your podcasts.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, the Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to the Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its $1 billion real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.